All right. Let's talk about a few things tonight. Tonight I'm going to talk about why do the nations rage? Why do the nations rage? I actually got this title from... You got the recipe? Sorry. Heard somebody out there. I guess I do. Psalm chapter 2. I'm going to look at, real quick, at the New King James Version, but then we're going to look at... We're going to look at the Passion Translation. I'm going to read all of it through that, but it starts out, verse 1, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords away from us. That's what I think. That's what's happening in our nation today. And I want to read this out of the Passion because I think it's a little bit easier to understand. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Do you know there are people in our country right now, there are people in political power that are in rebellion? They hate our country. They want to tear it down. It says their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit as the rulers scheme and coffer together against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, let us come together and break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains of the God and his Christ. God enthroned merely laughs at them. The sovereign one mocks their madness. That's pretty strong talk right there. Then with the fierceness of his fiery anger, he settles the issue and terrifies them to death with these words. I myself have poured out my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will reveal the eternal purpose of God. For he has decreed over me, you are my favored son. And as your father, I have crowned you as my eternal king. He's talking about Jesus there, right? Today, I became your father. Ask me to give you the nations and I will do it. And they shall become your legacy. Now, he goes on and says some other things, even talks about crushing the rebellion. I'll go down here a little further, though, and I like this. It says... God says, listen to me, all you rebellious kings and all your upstart judges of the earth. Learn your lesson while there's still time. Serve and worship the awe-inspiring God. Recognize his greatness and bow before him, trembling with reverence in his presence. Fall face down before him and kiss the Son before his anger is roused against you. Remember that his wrath can be quickly kindled. But many blessings are waiting for all who turn aside to hide themselves in him. Man, that is a very powerful and packed verse. And I don't have time to unpack all of it. But I do want to talk about a few things concerning this verse and concerning a little bit of what is going on in our nation. If you look at verse 3 there. It talks about chains and shackles being put on basically the evildoers of the world. Those that want to do evil, those that don't want anything to do with God. And you think about it, there's people in our world, they want to throw off restraint. They want to do whatever they want to do, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. We see it, you know, they don't want the Bible, they don't want the Ten Commandments, they don't want prayer, they don't want real justice, they don't want real freedom. Do they? They want us law-abiding taxpayers to pay for everything so that they can do what they want. And then when they get upset, what are they doing? They're rioting, they're tearing these places down in the name of justice, stealing and looting. That's evil. I hope y'all know that. That's evil. For you to come into my business and take my things without paying is evil. And they're doing these things, and they don't want any law. You notice they had their little city community in Seattle. I don't even remember what it was called, Chaz or something like that. Oh, everything went great until somebody got murdered. Yeah. Oh, and then where's the police? Yeah. Right? Oh, well, I thought y'all hated the police. Listen, the reason that I believe the world is in such an uproar is evil is trying to break the chains. Because I'm telling you guys, as believers, we push back evil. We push back evil. And what they're doing is trying to break those chains off of them so they can be unrestrained and do whatever they want. Bring destruction. And I'm going to tell you something. Really what they want to do is they want to take those chains off of them and put them on you. That's what they really want to do. They want you to live in bondage. You to live in fear. And we don't want that. So these shackles, these handcuffs, God has placed that on the enemy. And I like it. It says God laughs at their feeble attempts to throw these things off. You know why he laughs? This is why I think he laughs. It's just me. I think he laughs because he believes in us. He believes in his people because, listen, we're the ones that are holding back evil. Why? Because it's God in you. It's God in me. And when God is in us and he flows in and through us, we have the ability to push back evil. So that's why he's laughing, because he's got an army. He's got a people. So, who or what holds back evil of the world? It's not God alone, it's us. In Mark chapter 16, verse 19 through 20 says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs." See, when we go out and do the work of the ministry, when we go out and we're actually Christians, God is with us, doing the work with us. When we're pushing back evil, that's how we're doing that, is God is working with us, and many times through signs and wonders. Amen? Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. I love this. This is a good verse. "He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil." Wow. See, we think God came just to take us to heaven. He didn't just come to take us to heaven. Right? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Another way of saying that, he came to reverse the works of the devil, right? Reverse it. So, if Jesus' job is to destroy evil for a living, guess what your job is? To watch Jesus destroy? Oh, well, wait, let's read some more scripture and it'll tell us. Look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Well, if I see God destroying, or Jesus destroying the works of the devil, guess what I need to be doing? Imitating what he's doing and destroying those works. That's called pushing back evil. Amen? Push it back. So, how are we going to do this? How do we, as God's people, how can we practically look at a way that we push back evil? Now, number one here is, this is obvious, and I'm not going to talk a whole lot about this because it's so obvious, and I could actually take this point and preach probably forever on it, but it's just simply prayer. Prayer. I'm telling you what, guys, some of you people that say, "Well, all I do is pray." All you do is pray? Come on, if you get up faithfully every morning and you're praying for our nation and you're praying for our pastors and you're praying for your family and you're praying for your friends, you have no idea the impact you're making. You have no idea, right? Don't just say, "Well, all I do is pray." Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We should all be praying all the time. And prayer is a big weapon that we have to push back evil. Prayer does change things. It does change things. But I'm not going to preach on that. So, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. In order for us to push back evil, we need to fulfill our God-given purpose. And you say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm going to show you. Right? I'm going to show you. Now, this isn't going to get specific like you need to, you know, work here and do this and do that. But this is basically the purpose of mankind. And we're going to look at this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. I like that part. Over the birds of the air, I do that as well. And over every living thing that moves on the earth. Five things right there, guys. He tells us that's our purpose. We've got five things as a person, as a human being on this planet that is our purpose and our destiny is to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion, and subdue it. And we do that when we do that God's way, we destroy the works of the devil and push back evil. If you look throughout the entire Bible, here's just a few references that I kind of looked up here and studied a little of this out. But in Genesis 9, chapter 1, after God flooded the earth, did you know he gave that same mandate to Noah? And then in Genesis 17, he gave the same mandate to Abraham. Be fruitful, multiply. In Genesis 35, 11, he does the same thing to Jacob. See, sometimes I think we forget that what God said in Genesis wasn't like, well, all that's passed and it happened, and he doesn't mean us to do that anymore. No, when he gave mankind his purpose and his destiny, he intended that to be for all time, right? In Genesis 48, Ephraim and Manasseh, which is Joseph's sons, when they were blessed before their grandfather passed away, he blessed them, be fruitful and multiply. Deuteronomy chapter 30, God commissions the Israelites. Guess what he commissions them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. What about Jesus and his followers? It's kind of cool with Jesus because, see, Jesus, when Jesus was born, he was like Adam and Eve before they fell. Yeah? What was Adam and Eve's purpose? Be fruitful. What was Jesus' purpose? Be fruitful, multiply. What did Jesus do when he was on this earth? He was fruitful. He was multiplying. He was subduing things. He was taking dominion over things. He was really bringing the kingdom, which when you bring the kingdom, all those things are happening. Amen? So you can look throughout time, guys. It happened in the Old Testament. It's happening now. These five things are our purpose as a follower of Jesus. So, I said I wasn't going to preach on this, but I am a little bit. Let's go through all these things real quick. We're going to do a little bit on prayer, and then I'm going to get onto each one of these purposes and kind of talk a little about that. But let's look at prayer and how prayer pushes back evil. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is a confidence that we have in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Wow, what a way to pray. When you're praying for the nation, when you're praying for your family, when you're praying for those that don't know Jesus, think of the confidence of that I know that you hear me, God. I know you're hearing me. And I know that I'm going to have what you've asked, what I'm asking, as long as I'm praying according to his will, right? Right? Prayer. Let's keep going here. I'm going to have to go fast, guys. Philippians 4, 6-7. Praying releases peace to guard your heart and your mind. literally releases peace in your life to guard. Listen, in today's crazy world, one way we need to push back evil and keep evil, we need to keep evil from overtaking us. And we need to have peace of mind, and we need to guard our heart from all that junk out there. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. John 17, 15 through 21. Is she putting them up? I don't know if she's putting them up. Prayer that God keep, this is a prayer that God keeps us from the evil one. And he's praying for unity and praying that the truth will prevail. Do you think we might have a little bit of problem with keeping unity if Jesus had to pray that we would have unity as believers? He knew that was going to be an issue, didn't he? He did. Do you think it might be a little bit of an issue of the evil one coming and deceiving us? And yeah, God knew that was a possibility, and Jesus prayed, hey, protect them from that, Father. Let truth prevail. We're having a little bit of trouble right now with truth. What is truth? Like, people don't know. We need to pray that truth will rise and the lies will fall. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I'll go ahead and read this one. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. You know what? A lot of times, guys, to be honest with you, I just want to be left alone. Does that sound bad? Like, I don't want you to come take my stuff. I don't want you to come. I want to live a quiet, peaceable life. I want to be able to worship my God. I want to be able to witness and not get beat up. I want to be able to go in and proclaim the kingdom without being too much of a, I don't know, disturber of the peace. But a lot of people, we just want to live a quiet, good life and be good and help people and be helpful in the community. And it seems like that just can't hardly do that anymore. Well, how come you hadn't said anything on Facebook about what's going on? Are you against this? Are you for this? I'm just like, I'm for Jesus. Why can't I just be for Jesus? Oh, well, you got to take a side. You got to speak up. You got to use your voice. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. Just because you have a voice and just because you have something to say doesn't mean you need to say it. I'm going to tell you that right now. You better be careful what you say, because your words bring life or death. And I'm going to tell you what happens. I've seen this on Facebook too many times. Good Christian people sound foolish. And they're getting on there, and what are they doing? They're speaking the ways of man, thinking they're going to correct somebody or set someone straight. And they're just stirring the pot. They're not speaking life. They're causing more division. We have to be careful at what we say. Man, we have to be careful. We need to pray for all men. And yeah, I do want to live a quiet life. I want to follow God and do what's right and live in peace. One way we live in peace, guys, is we got to push back evil. Because when evil comes in, it disrupts. It disrupts. Let's look at these things. Let's look at these five things. Be fruitful. First one that God says, be fruitful. Fruitfulness, it's fertile, productive. Matthew 12, 23. Let's look at Matthew 12, 23 here. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Being fruitful. Seed. How much seed do you think we've received in our lifetime? We receive seed all the time, right? Good seed and bad seed. We got to get that bad seed out. We got to let that good seed come in. We got to keep our heart right so that it can get in there and we can be fruitful. Be fruitful. Are you fertile ground? Are you someone that can receive the things of God and multiply that and let it bear fruit in your life? I think that's very, very important for believers. We've got too many believers, guys, that it's like the word of God and all the preaching and everything is like ambient noise in their life. It's like they hear it, but It has no effect on our life. Yeah. They come in, what the scripture says, it's like looking in the mirror and seeing who you are and then leaving and forgetting who you are. And that's what we do a lot of times, and we can't do that. We've got to have good ground. We've got to let those things come in. Because listen, when you're fruitful and you're being fruitful for the Lord and the things of in your life are man, they're multiplying, which is kind of part of the next deal here, other people can partake of that. Other people can partake of that. And when you are being fruitful, guys, you are expanding the kingdom of God. When you expand the kingdom of God's borders, you're pushing back evil's borders. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is glorified when we are fruitful. So we need to be fruitful. The next one is multiply. Guys, in being fruitful, we're going to multiply, but multiply is to increase greatly in number or quantity. It's to increase greatly in number or quantity. I do believe this is talking about children. If you look at the context of this, obviously, it has to be talking about children, but I believe it goes much deeper than that. If we are having children and we're raising them up in a godly way, then we're multiplying in a godly way, and that's a good thing to have. If you're having kids, guys, raise them right, so that they can take what they've been taught and have a family of their own and multiply that. Yeah, we get that. We see that. But it goes so much deeper than just having children. What about believers? What about spreading the gospel and getting people born again? That's multiplication. If you look in the book of Acts, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 references in the book of Acts where it says, and they added to the body daily. And a lot of times they were adding thousands daily. That's multiplication. It's multiplication. That's what we need to be doing as believers, is adding to the body daily. Adding, and multiplying. Another thing that we need to be doing that helps us push back evil is we need to increase in revelation, knowledge, and understanding. We need to increase, we need to multiply the revelation and knowledge of the Word of God. We don't just need to become a believer and just be like, I made it, I'm in. No. You need to get in the Word and start letting that multiply in your life. Colossians 1, verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Our spiritual understanding needs to be multiplied. It needs to be multiplied. Why? So you can walk in the things of God. So you can pass it on to others. Yeah? Sometimes your friend may need an explanation for something. They may need to be showed in the Word why this is the way it is. You may be the one. If you're growing in your knowledge and understanding, you may be able to explain something, bring peace to someone, bring understanding to someone. The next one, increase the kingdom of God. That's basically what we're doing, but we need to be multiplying the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:10 is the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's praying for the kingdom to come. How does the kingdom come? Does it just fall out of the sky? It comes through us. As we push back evil, we expand the borders. We bring peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, miracles, signs, and wonders, getting people born again, filled with the Spirit, healed, delivered, set free, peace of mind, all this stuff that happens. That's when we're multiplying the kingdom. Luke chapter 10, verse 9. That one's up there, isn't it? Heal the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's kind of a funny statement. I don't know that I've ever said that to someone, but wouldn't that be cool to go up to someone and just be like, the kingdom of God has come near you today? We probably could say that. We just didn't realize that we could say that because that's what happened, but maybe we all need to do that. Get someone filled with the Spirit. Hey, the kingdom of God just got all over you today. Let's do it. The next one, fill the earth. Fill the earth with all the things God has been multiplying in your life. We're supposed to be filling the earth. Filling the earth. Psalm 72, 18 through 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. How does the earth get filled with his glory? Does God do it himself? He does it through us. He does it through us. And I don't have time to go in that either about the glory of God. The glory of God is not a cloud. The cloud was there so they couldn't see the glory, because if they'd have seen the glory, they'd have dropped dead. The glory of God is the image of God. The glory of God is his very nature and his character. And he wants his very nature and character to fill the whole earth. Right? How do we do that? We do it through us, because we look like him. We're made in his image and his likeness, and we reflect his very nature. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is filling the earth. And listen, when you're doing that, when you fill the earth with his nature, with his very, man, his very essence and being, because he's living in and through you, guess what evil has to do? It don't hang around, does it? Nope, it's looking for the door, looking for the back door so that it can get out, because it don't want to be around. Push back evil. Subdue. Now, subdue sounds like a kind of a almost a bad term, like you're wrestling someone. I'm going to subdue you, you know. I'm going to, you know, make you cry uncle. Well, it kind of is, but listen, it's not against each other. We're not subduing one another. We're not like wrestling flesh and blood, right? But let me tell you something, guys. Subdue, overcome. It means to overcome, to bring under control. Let me tell you what we need to bring under control as a nation. We need to subdue our old man. As believers, old man, y'all know about the old man? We need to go look about the old man. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about that, guys. I'm talking about the scripture talking about your old man, who you used to be, right? Please don't ever call me your old man. I might identify with that. I don't know. But let's think about this. Ephesians 4:22. This old man, guys, gets in the way sometimes. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Wow. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, we've got to take off the old and put on the new. Somebody said, well, I just got born again, I'm good. No, you are not good. You have to take off the old and put on the new. You have to learn to walk in who you've become. And some of us need to subdue that old man. That old man is in control of our lives still. He's supposed to be dead and buried, but we've let him resurrect from the dead and control our lives. And we need to subdue him, because listen, it's kind of hard to push back evil when your old evil man is in control of you, right? You'll find yourselves going with the flow instead of against it. You've got to control your thoughts. That's tough. Turn on the news and see where your thoughts go. And it amazes me. Well, I heard on the news. Did you now? It's so hard to even tell if they're telling the truth or not. They're speaking out of both sides of their mouth, right? We have to be careful, because we'll watch the news, and even Fox News or whatever, that people, oh, that's a great one. You turn it on, and it's just terrible, 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 terrible. This happened, death, murder, destruction. it'll mess with your mind if you're not careful. Same thing with all this social media stuff, Facebook and Instagram. We're scrolling through, guys. We're constantly being bombarded with thoughts. And if we're not careful, those thoughts can become our thoughts. And we don't want that to happen. 2 Corinthians 10:3, very, very familiar verse. We've heard this a lot, but it's very true. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God in pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. It seems like there's so many arguments that come against the way we think. You ever notice that? Like you think a certain way, like I know God believes this way, and then you watch something, it's like you're arguing in your mind, like that said that. Maybe that's, oh. No, you've got to be careful. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Guys, it's everywhere. Everywhere, just this disdain for God. And for those that believe in God, they're just like, oh gosh, you believe in God? Disrespect. It comes against it. Listen, we have to cast those things down. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Even more so. We're going to push back evil, but we're thinking like they do. One of my favorite scriptures, and it's in Proverbs twice. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it brings destruction. What's the way that seems right to man? Does anybody know what that is? It's man's way. It's the way of the world. And when we think and reason in our own mind apart from God, it will always bring destruction. Always. Oh, well, I've got a great argument, and I've thought this out. Yeah, but did you include God in that? Did you get that from God? Well, no, I reasoned out. Do you know one of the things we gained in the fall that we never were supposed to gain, that we got when they ate of that tree, was the ability to reason our way out of believing in God? God never wanted us to do that and have that ability. They ate that tree, though. And then what well did God say? I don't know. I can do better than God. I can figure this out. I don't need him, right? And be careful. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, these guys, they're coming, they're trying to break, their evil's trying to break forth and just control and overrun. We cannot let us as believers be overcome with that. We can't let this nation, this world be overcome with that evil. We have to overcome evil with good. And when we do nothing, when we back off and we stop praying and we stop subduing the enemy, they can just do whatever they want. Say, well, I don't matter. Yeah, you do. More than you think. A lot of times I think we think, oh, God chose someone else. No, God chose you. You're the best he's got. You're the best he's got. And you say, well, I don't accept that. Well, too bad. He chose you. He put his spirit in you. He didn't put his spirit in you so you could sit on the sidelines and watch. Didn't happen that way. Subdue evil with good. 1 John 5:4-5 in the Passion Translation. You see, every child of God overcomes the world. What is the world? What's he talking about there? The world is a system that is opposed to God. You can look that up in the Greek. That's what it says. It's not talking about this globe. It's talking about this system that opposes God. Every child of God overcomes the world. For our faith is victorious power that triumphs over the world. Our faith is victorious power, guys. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Who are these world conquerors? Who are these ones that are pushing back evil? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's that simple. Who believes? Well, I bet you, looking around here, I think everybody in here does. There may be one of you that snuck in here that haven't yet. Maybe you will tonight. Maybe you'll trust in the Lord. I believe that he's tugging on you right now if you haven't. But most of y'all in here, I know you. And I know you are a son of God, a daughter of God. He's enabled you to push back evil and overcome the world. Dominion. Dominance. or power through legal authority. See, again, it's not, we're not fighting against each other. We're fighting against these powers. We're going to look at this. We have legal authority over sickness and disease. You say, yeah, but not everybody gets healed. It doesn't mean that you don't have legal authority over there. We're learning how to exercise that, and we're getting better at it. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, I didn't see anybody healed. We see people healed quite often. Yeah. And we need to keep, you know what you're doing when you see people healed? Pushing back evil. Pushing it back. Don't just give up and say, well, that didn't work. No, you keep pushing. You keep learning. You keep growing. We have legal authority over poverty, generational curses, fear, hate, confusion, doubt, division. We have legal authority from God Almighty to have dominion over those things. Dominion. Like I said, not over people, but over these things in Ephesians 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those things that bring evil. We have authority over them. We have a legal right to say no. In the name of Jesus. These principalities and powers, and we see them working. We see them working all the time. So what are some actual steps that we can take as believers to actually step into these things and take an active role in pushing back evil through these things, taking dominion and being fruitful, multiply, all these things? We need to get equipped. We need to get equipped. You say, what are we doing here? Why are we here? Why do we do life groups? Why do we do classes and things? Why don't we do those things? Is it just to have fun? Is it just to fellowship? Because, yeah, we do those things, and it is fun to be around each other and eat and things like that. But listen, the main reason you should be here is to be equipped. You don't pay me or Stan or Frankie or anybody else in this ministry to do all the work. If you do, then we need to have a talk. Okay, you're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, okay, what were you doing? Well, I paid them to do it. They're my pastor. God said, I meant for you to do that. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be there for that conversation. Amen. Listen to this. Ephesians 4. We hear this a lot, but I don't know that we understand what's going on here. Ephesians 4. I come out of a denomination. I don't think they read this at all because they didn't believe this. There was preachers. The end. Maybe they were supposed to fill all these. I don't know. But Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of each other. The saints. Who are the saints? You guys are the saints. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Guys, we bring here, we have these services, we do all this stuff. Why? Because we are equipping you. We're equipping you with the word, we're equipping you with the sword, we're equipping you with knowledge and understanding. Why? So that you can push back evil. So that you can destroy the works of the devil. Because God lives in you. Maybe we all need a shift, a mindset of like why we come. It's training and equipping for life. That when your neighbor has a crisis and they're not believers and their parents aren't believers, but you are, you can go over there and bring the kingdom. Amen? We're equipping you guys. And what's really cool is I know some of you personally, and you're really good at equipping others too. You're really good at it. And I know I'm going to say it again. I'm not plugging for this, but I'm serious. It's called life groups. Yeah. It's a safe place for you to be able to exercise what you've been taught. and what you've been trained in. Second thing, learn how to operate in your gifting. Again, life group, learn how to operate in your gifting. Get on the prayer team. Get up here and learn how to work. That's you're learning to operate in your gifting. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, we get some gifts there. It tells us some gifts and things, but a lot of people, they're like, what is that? Well, we need to learn about those things. We need to understand those things. And through knowledge and understanding and growing in the Word, hearing, learning how to hear the Holy Spirit, things like that, we learn how to operate in these gifts. We all have gifts. Some people say, oh, well, some people get some and some people get others. And then, you know, some people say, well, you get all of them. I'm not really sure where I fall on that. What I know is there are certain times, though, where I need one of those gifts. And I think the gift that I need is the one that God can equip me with in that moment. Maybe I'm off on that. I've seen that happen before. Like, I've never operated in that before. That's what we needed, though. Right? But how can you operate in the gift if you won't ever learn how to operate in it? Or if you say, oh, those aren't for today. And I'm tired of hearing that. They died and passed away. I was like, what? What Bible are you reading? That's called something. I'll have to come up with that term. But there's a funny term that I've heard with that says that all the gifts and things, that they don't happen anymore. That when the last apostle died, they stopped happening. I was like, did you read the scripture? Read it. In Acts, Peter says, listen, this is for you, your children, and for all those who are called. Anyways, get equipped. Learn how to operate in your gifting. Last thing is shine for Jesus for all to see. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. Who's he talking about there? You are the light of the world. Amen? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? The Father who is in heaven. Shine. Shine, shine. And here's the deal, too. When you shine, guess what? You push back evil. You're pushing it back. I'm telling you guys, the nations are raging. And a lot of these things that are happening that are evil, that are even in other nations, but it just seems like ours is really having a problem with that right now. They're raging because they are shackled. And they want to break those chains. Listen, never let them break those chains. Do not do it. As long as you have breath in you, you push that evil back. You push it back, whether it's prayer, whatever it is, whatever you're leading in this church. Maybe you're not doing anything in this church and you need to, and the God's prompting you to. Listen, start doing something. Why? Because you're keeping them shackled. You're keeping evil handcuffed where they can't just come and do whatever they want to do. Amen? We need to be peacemakers. We need to push back evil. And listen, the deal is, you say, how long do we push back evil until he returns? Yes. Until he returns. Because here's the deal. When he returns, when Jesus comes back, he's going to make everything right. Yes. He's going to destroy evil once and for all. Amen? Yeah. And that just leads us right into what we're going to do tonight, which is the Lord's Supper. Why do we do this? You guys that are helping, if you guys want to go ahead and get ready, why do we remember? It says that we remember until the Lord comes. We remember what he did for us until the Lord comes. We say, well, what did he do for us? Well, he did die for our sins, but it's so much more than that. He restored us back. He restored us back into the right picture of humanity so that we could partner with God and bring his kingdom on this earth. And one day he will return. Hmm. Thank you. So we're going to pass the elements. I think it's a good time during communion is remember what he's done for you. Remember all the things he's done for your family. Remember all the times that were tough that he got you through. You know what? Remember the good times too. Remember all the blessings. All the times that, you know, you were blessed with a child and you had a great pregnancy and the baby comes safe. Thank you for that, Father. Every time that you got to see maybe a great grandparent one more time. You got to spend another Christmas with them. That's God blessing us. Financially, he comes through. Yeah. Somebody that you thought was beyond saving gets born again. Maybe it was a relative. You thought, God, oh, you can't reach them. And then he says, you just watch me. I'm thankful for those things. And we remember those things because all those things are only possible by the blood. Amen. Is there anybody that has not received the elements that want to? Everybody good? All right, we don't leave anybody out. All right. The scripture says, "For Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed." I want you to think about that, guys. Jesus didn't let betrayal stop him from being who he was called to be. He didn't let sin against him produce sin in him. As we take this today, I think there might be somebody in here that somebody has done something against you, and you need to forgive them right now. You need to forgive them. If Jesus could go to the cross, even after being betrayed, and actually die for the one that betrayed him, I think we can let something go. I think it would be real healthy and good for you to forgive that person right now. Just let it go. Just let it go. Say, I forgive you. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may partake. Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may partake. And then he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. If you would please stand with me. We have ministry team available tonight. Okay. If you guys want to come down. I just want to encourage you guys that what you do matters. Your prayer and your doing good to people and spreading the love of God, it matters so much. I don't think we realize, and I don't think we will until we go home to be with the Lord, how much we have held back evil. And if you need encouragement tonight, and if you need that, I'm going to invite you to come down and get prayer. You know, and if there's someone in here tonight, if there's someone in here tonight that says, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, I want you to come down when I get through praying, and I want you to meet with somebody. And you get that straight. And listen, I know sometimes we say raise your hand, and that's fine, but I feel like you need to come down. You know why? Because it's a step of faith. That you would step out in faith and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Amen? So if that's you tonight, man, you come down quick, okay? I'm going to pray. I'm going to bless everybody. And then I'm going to dismiss you guys to get some ice cream, okay? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you. I love you, Father, that you trust in us so much, that you, we're the chosen army, Father, that you believe in us to push back evil, but you didn't leave us a helpless, Father, that you're in us. Father, your spirit is in us, and you've gifted us, Father, to bring your kingdom. And I pray that there would be a stirring in everyone's heart to continue to do what they're doing, and even more, Father, that they would pray more, Father, that they would, man, do good to their neighbors, Father. Just whatever you lay on our heart to push back evil and to bring peace and be peacemakers, Father, in their community, wherever they set their foot. Father, for anybody in here, Father, that does not know you, that wants to make you Lord of their life, they want to give their life to you, Father. I pray that you'd give them special faith and courage right now to step out and to come forward and enter into your kingdom. Father, we thank you for safety tonight as we do fireworks and have a great time of fun and fellowship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, guys. You are dismissed.